I'm Karen Hartglass. You're listening to It's All About Food. How's it going today? I'm going to be talking for the next half hour, and then I'm going to bring up a guest, James Asprey, in about a half hour, and we're going to talk about his year of not talking. And I think that's going to be really, really an interesting time. Can you imagine not talking for about a year? For a year, exactly. There's a lot we can learn from that, and we'll discover what he learned coming up in a little bit. It's fall. It's not fall yet, but we have another week of summer, but the cool air is coming through. I've even got a sweatshirt on, which is fun, and I bought a new teapot. To me, fall is about being comfortable either in your leisure time or during work and getting a little cozy and drinking tea. And I've just got a new teapot. Now, I've mentioned a number of times how I'm really anti-tea bags for lots of reasons. And I like to use bulk tea in teapots that come with these lovely little baskets that you can put the bulk tea in. And that way you could make it as weak or as strong as you like, and you don't have all of that environmental waste of paper or nylon that they use in some of the fancier tea bags. And I just got this cute little teapot. I'm so in love with it. I think I might buy another one because this one is so particularly cute. But I always have to see how they hold up because we go through tea kettles and teapots a little too quickly, which is why I go with stainless now, because I tend to break the porcelain pots, unfortunately. Yeah, so if you go to my What Vegans Eat blog, you can see what my new teapot looks like because I posted it yesterday and today. Another thing I want to share with you, you may remember John Joseph. I had him on years ago. He wrote a book. Please excuse me if I offend you by saying his title, but it's called Meat is for Pussies. And the title is actually offensive to many people. But what I like about him and his work is he appeals to a very specific demographic. He's had a very challenging life, and he's come out of it really miraculously and a hero with a wonderful message. And he's just been featured in a great video. You might go to munchies.vice.com and check out the Fuel the Vegan Iron Man Diet of Cro-Mags John Joseph. Oh yeah, he's also a punk rocker of the group Cro-Mags. It's not my kind of music, but some people like it. And you know, I don't really care what kind of music or what people do for their entertainment, as long as they don't hurt anybody. All I care about is eating plant foods, that we should all eat healthy, delicious plant foods. I can't say it's all that I care about, but you know that it's really important to me. So you might check out munchies.vice.com for that really inspiring video. One of the things that it made me want to do is work out more. And we could always use a little inspiration to work out more, don't we? Couldn't we? Now, today is, starting at sundown here in New York, is the Jewish holiday Yom Kippur. I can't say how many times I said it on this show. I am not a religious person. I like holiday parties and food. And this particular holiday is not really about food until the holiday is over, because during this holiday you're supposed to fast from sundown to sundown, and I do not plan on fasting, but I want to talk about fasting. I thought it would be a good topic to talk about. We touch on it from time to time. This show is called It's All About Food. Well, what happens when you abstain from food, and why would you want to do that? Folks that are doing it during this holiday, it's what I was told originally when I was going to religious school when I was a little girl, is that people are supposed to be so wrapped up in their prayers for forgiveness, their prayers for what all this holiday is about. It's the Day of Atonement, where we ask for forgiveness for all the things that we've done that we shouldn't have done or made mistakes during the year, that you're so wrapped up in these thoughts of prayer that you don't have time to eat. And I think most of the people that I know, they're thinking about eating most of the day while they're not eating. They're not that wrapped up in the concept of forgiveness. And fasting can be a wonderful, wonderful thing. And there's different kinds of fasting. There's the popular juice fast that many people will partake in. And I think juice fasts are great, but I don't really think they're fasts. I think they're just a very simple way to get nutrients, which is very light on your digestive system and can help cleanse and can help alleviate a lot of different problems. Fasting is really when you abstain from food, and water fasting is the true type of fast, where you're not eating any food, but you are drinking water as necessary, because it really isn't healthy to go without water. Water is really important, and it's an important part of fasting. You know, the essential thing that we have in life, number one, is we must breathe, and as soon as we stop breathing, the game's over. And then after that, it's taking in water. We absolutely need water. And of course we need nutrients, but water takes priority in terms of how long we can go without it. So you may not know this, but Dr. Joel Fuhrman, who I've said many times is my favorite doctor and has written some wonderful books about food and eating and his famous Eat to Live diet, his first book was about fasting, called Fasting and Eating for Health. And anyone who might be curious about fasting or thinking about whether they should or should not fast, I really recommend this book, Fasting and Eating for Health. I really enjoyed it when I read it, which was sometime like around 1999-ish, 1998. I don't remember when it came out. But I was fascinated by it, and it didn't ultimately lead me to do a 3-week water-only fast. I did it mostly out of curiosity. Some of my family and friends thought I was a little nutty at the time. And, you know, just like we're going to talk about not talking later on, not eating for a substantial amount of time really opens you up to learning a lot of things. And during a fast, when you're not eating, the one key thing that's necessary, other than not eating and drinking water, is resting. It's really not advised to have a prolonged fast and continue normal activities. When I did my 3-week water-only fast, I was a bit of a chiseler. You had the opportunity to go to Dr. Fuhrman's fasting center, and I really couldn't afford to do it for 3 weeks. So I fasted at home for about, I think, 10 or 11 days. And during that time, I didn't slow down that much. I had a lot of energy and I was feeling pretty good. It was actually over Thanksgiving, and I made a Thanksgiving dinner for a few people. That was the early part of my fast. I didn't eat anything. And that was kind of a fun thing to do. Make a lot of food, not taste it, and then serve it. But that fast, the key part was the resting portion of it. So when I was at the fasting center, which he doesn't have anymore, there was a lot of time for self-reflection. I would go on walks, and my metabolism was so slow at this point that I felt like I was in slow motion, or everyone else was in like super speeded up, fast forward kind of motion. As I walked along, everyone was moving at a much more rapid pace. But this is an opportunity for your body to focus on areas that need healing. And there have been some miraculous stories about people that have been in health crises and have done water fasting and have healed themselves. Dr. Fuhrman has his own personal story. And so when we're talking about a day fast during a religious holiday, there are things that I think people should consider, and they don't. Very often people think if they go on a fast for a few weeks, they'll lose a lot of weight. And it's true, you do lose weight. But the ideal way to fast for anyone who's doing a day fast or any length of time is you want to be eating an ideal healthy diet before you fast and to continue with a very healthy diet after you fast. If you think the fast is going to clean some things out and then you go back to a toxic diet, that's not healthy. That can be really damaging. And I know people who have spent the money, gone to one of these fasting centers, lost a bunch of weight, and then gone back to their regular unhealthy diet. And what happens? Not only do they put on the weight again and probably even more, but they're probably doing themselves some harm. So before you go into a fast, you want to be eating well. You want to, and maybe even you want to ease into it by eating particularly cleanly before you go into a fast. I have to admit that I did very well during my 3-week water-only fast, but some years later I thought I would try another fast just on my own for a few days. In Dr. Furman's book, he recommends a long fast once every 5 or 10 years, and I didn't follow up with something like that, but I thought I might try it. And I wasn't being careful, and I had like a big Thai dinner before the day I was going to fast. And I could not do the fast as long as I wanted to, because that Thai dinner, which was rich and full of, starchy rice noodle stuff and fat and oils, that kind of just got stuck in my intestines, and I could not continue a prolonged fast. You need to have a lot of hydrated food with lots of fiber so that it's going in and coming out, and then when you're ready to fast, your body is prepped for a fast. Now, some people find that a prolonged fast is scary, and it's not something that they want to do or can do because of their schedule. And fasting once a week has shown to be very, very positive for many people. And there's even some evidence that those people who are going through chemotherapy will have a better impact or better results with the chemo if they fast the day before they have chemotherapy. So there's a lot of fascinating things about fasting. People often think, you know, if they're tired, they need to eat, or maybe they're not eating the right food. And I think for most of us who are fortunate to be able to eat whatever we want, whenever we want, the problem is probably too much food or not the right choices. And so when we're tired, we don't need more food. We need to sleep, or maybe we need to eat different foods that are energizing rather than foods that slow us down. Things to think about for fasting. Now, let's get back to eating food, because that's really the fun part. And I wanted to talk about some of the foods that I was fortunate to enjoy this week. So just yesterday, for example, we were thinking about the restaurant Beyond Sushi. I think I've mentioned that a few times. It's a relatively new restaurant. It's been around a few years here in Manhattan. Not sure if they've branched out yet to other places, but they make some great hand rolls and vegetable maki and sushi. It's all vegan, and in addition to just white rice, like you'll get in most Japanese restaurants, they'll use black rice and red rice and a number of other grains and some wonderful sauces, like different flavored vegan mayonnaises that you can use to dip or enhance the different items that you're buying. So we thought last night that we'd kind of make our own. And I had some tri-colored quinoa, red, black, and white. And I used that to make our maki. And thanks to Gary, I said, we got to make one of those good-tasting mayos that, or aiolis that they have at Beyond Sushi. And he did just that. He made, wow, this great spicy aioli. And I posted the recipe for you today, should you want to try it. And it's great. It's great for anything that calls for a mayonnaise or an aioli, for dipping. You can spread it on bread when you're making a sandwich. Of course, you can use it for vegetable maki. And it's not hard to make. And, oh, it's good. And he made enough so I can have more whenever I want. And then we went to the Veg News, what did they call it? The Veg News Comfort Food Shindig. I don't know if any of you are subscribers to Veg News Magazine. I'm sure you are. You may know that Veg News went through some difficulties. I spoke with Colleen Holland a few weeks ago, who is the publisher of Veg News. And boy, vegans know how to party. Let me just say that. We love our food, and we love having a good time. And this party was at Mooshoes, which is a vegan shoe store in Manhattan. And they are so generous there. Erica and Sarah Kubersky, the owners of this store, have hosted many great events, book launches and other vegan events. And we were at this Veg News party. Jay Astafa, who is this young celebrity chef, was making little treats for us, like little mini cheeseburgers and fries and vanilla shakes. And my favorite was the mini grilled cheese with creamy tomato sauce served in a shot glass. That was fun. And Vegan Treats offered up so many stunning desserts. It was quite a party. And then we were given goodie bags filled with all kinds of wonderful foods that I don't normally buy because, I don't know, I'm not someone who buys the treats very often, and if I want to have a treat, I usually make it. But if you look at my What Vegans Eat blog, what day was it? I think it was number 219. You can see all the goodies that we got in our goodie bag, and some of the people who were there at that party. It was major fun. What else is in the news? I wanted to mention, when we eat, for example, any food that comes from a grocery store, food that comes from a restaurant, food that comes packaged to go, in a convenience store, wherever, it's always a leap of faith. We really need to trust where that food came from every step of the way. And we want to believe that the companies that are producing this food take care in keeping their facilities clean and buying quality products. And we have a government that inspects along the way to make sure everybody's doing what they're supposed to do. And there's all kinds of rules to follow, and we just take a leap of faith and assume that these rules are being followed. Well, if you follow what's going on with foodborne illnesses, you can realize how much of a leap of faith you're taking every time you eat in a restaurant or eat food where you haven't followed it every step of the way and checked it every step of the way. And one of the big foodborne illness-related cases was just resolved yesterday. I don't know if you remember the story about the salmonella-tainted peanuts that sickened 714 people and killed 9 in the year 2009. One of many foodborne illness cases, well, it was a particularly fascinating one because the people involved, Stuart Parnell, his brother Michael, and an employee, Mary Wilkinson, were all served yesterday. Stuart Parnell, 28 years in prison, his brother Michael, 20 years, and the employee, Mary, 5 years. And they were involved and realized they knew that they were shipping salmonella-tainted peanuts. And where it gets complicated, and this is where efficiency comes in, and this is one of the reasons why I don't like the word efficient. We're being efficient. And thinking of efficiency as an important parameter, in some ways it is, but what do we lose when we try to be very efficient in business, when we merge companies, when companies get so large, it's really impossible to keep track of where things come from. So if you have a company that makes a particular product that needs peanuts, for example, and they buy peanuts from a variety of sources, and then they blend them up and cook them up and extrude them and put them in packages, it's really hard to tell where the problem started when you have salmonella lurking in your food product. And I would prefer to see, in addition to better inspections and better ways to keep people honest, that companies could be smaller when it comes to making food. Companies should be smaller, locally sourced. This big corporation thing, especially when it comes to food, it can be very, very dangerous. And this is just one small story out of many. But the good news is that justice was served. And these particular people didn't get away with it. And I think that we're going to be seeing more of that. And you hope that this is a deterrent for food manufacturers so that they work very hard at keeping the bad bugs out of their food. What else do we have here to talk about? Yeah. I talk about bowel movement sometimes on this show, right? The thing that's amusing, interesting, I think most people realize this when they change their diet and when they start to incorporate healthier foods in their diet. One of the first things they notice is what happens when it all comes out the other end, because things change. And anytime you change your diet, and it can be adding good foods to your diet, it could be adding bad foods to your diet, your bowel movements are going to change. I always like to tell the story that I went to a raw food conference in Costa Rica about a little over 10 years ago, and the food was so full of oils and nuts, was so rich, that I actually became constipated, which you wouldn't think is what would happen when you're eating raw food, but the diet changed, and it was challenging for a few days. So I like to talk about bowel movements because they're really important and they let you know how healthy you are. I can't imagine going a day without moving. And I think two foods for me that are really powerful in keeping my intestines scrubbed are oats, and which is one of the reasons why we eat a lot of oatmeal here at home for breakfast. Not every day, but many days. And other than the fact that we love it. But it's also really a good scrubber. And lentils. Wow. I love lentils. I love their flavor. You can do many, many things with them. You can put them in a puree. You can put them in a soup. You can put them in a loaf. But no matter how you eat them, they keep you clean, and they keep things moving. Now, fiber is a really important thing to keep things moving. And rather than taking fiber from a jar and mixing it with some water, thinking you're going to get the fiber you need, fiber is best from food, and fiber is the most delicious from food. And, you know, it just boggles my mind that this food that we eat, these wonderful plant food dishes, they are delicious, they are nutritious, they keep things moving, they keep you energized, and yet it's taken such a long time for people to get on this wagon, this plant-based food wagon. Come on, it's fun, it's delicious, and it'll take you a long way deliciously. I really believe that. I really believe that. Let's see. I just wanted to mention one more thing before we take a little break and then bring on my guest. And that's just a simple little message about Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola, the CEO last month promised that he would make Coca-Cola's funding transparent. And they have done that. And you might visit the Coca-Cola website. They have a number of different pages, frequently asked questions, and they tell you who they have partnerships with and who the scientists are working on their research, and they tell you who they're funding, and they say they will continue to update every 6 months. And okay, that's very nice that they're being transparent, only I don't think anything's going to change, because who has time to look at these sites and make the connection that the people that they're using to do research are also supporting their agenda? They say, and this is just an amusing thing to me, amusing, sad, they say, I don't have the exact wording, but there's a one piece in one of these transparency pages where they say that they're concerned about obesity and want to work getting people to reach their ideal weight. And they say that they will do it. They do it already by offering low sugar and no sugar beverages. And that's amusing to me, because aspartame actually encourages your appetite. It increases your appetite. People that are drinking these no-calorie beverages, thinking they're not getting any calories, are made hungrier. And these companies know that. Yes, they know it. So I'll leave you with that little thing to digest for a moment. And we'll take a quick break and then be back to talk with James Aspie of Voiceless 365.